Rallied by Angad, the Vanars recovered courage, reformed in battle order, and prepared to fight Kumbhakarna. They hurled rocks at him and dealt heavy blows with trees that were pulled up by the roots. But he disregarded them all, and with a smile on his face, went on destroying the Vanars with a methodic cruelty that was most terrifying. Some of them retreated to the newly built dam, while others tried to save themselves by hiding on the shore of the sea and in the forests. Once again, Angad had to encourage the Vanar chiefs and warriors to get them to redeploy and attack Kumbhakarna. Dwivid, Hanuman, Neel, Vrishabha, Saraba, and other chiefs attacked Kumbhakarna fiercely. But he disregarded them all and continued his ruthless slaughter of the Vanars. Angad himself received a blow, as a result of which he fainted and fell on the earth. Sugriv was struck down. Picking up the unconscious Vanar king, Kumbhakarna carried him with joy towards Lanka. The Rakshasa army rejoiced greatly and raised a triumphant roar. Kumbhakarna wished to make a present of the captive Vanar king to his brother Ravan. As Kumbhakarna went along the royal highway, carrying in triumph the unconscious Vanar king, the Rakshasas and their womenfolk, standing on the terraces, showered flowers and poured sandal paste. This incidentally revived Sugriv. He opened his eyes, wondered where he was and what had happened, but he soon understood everything. He then began to bite with his teeth and tear with his nails the ears and nose of the Rakshasa who was carrying him. Kumbhakarna, worried, threw him down, intending to crush him with his feet. But when he was on the ground, Sugriv jumped and flew up across the sky and arrived at the place where Ram was. Hanuman was sure that Sugriv would somehow come back. Foreseeing the escape of Sugriv, Hanuman had rallied the Vanar ranks and prepared them again for battle. Kumbhakarna, now grim and gruesome, with torn nose and ears, like a great blood-red evening cloud, and raging like death at the end of time, returned to the battlefield with a huge iron mace in his hand. None could now stop Kumbhakarna. He began to kill and devour the Vanars. The whole army began to disappear in this way. They tried to deter him by climbing on his mountain-like body and tearing at it with nails and teeth, but without effect, for he shook them off as if they were flies. None of the Vanar chiefs could hold him. Lakshman tried with his arrows to obstruct his progress, but the Rakshasa passed him by and rushed forward to face Ram himself. For a long time, Ram kept aiming powerful darts at the Rakshasa. The arrow that had pierced the seven sal trees and the tough body of Bali was powerless against Kumbhakarna. Sending sharper and stronger arrows, Ram wounded the arms and the feet of the Rakshasa, but nothing short of death would stop him. His legs were cut off, but even legless, he moved about on his stumps and went on with demoniac ferocity, fighting his brother's battle. But at last, Ram cut off his head with an arrow. The severed head, carried by the force of Ram's arrow, rose into the sky and, red with blood, fell onto Lanka like a hill with its forests aflame. The news was carried to Ravan by a messenger who said,
"Your brother Kumbhakarna, terrible like all-destroying death at the end of time, has entered the heaven of slaughtered heroes. He killed thousands of Vanars and for a long time kept the army of Ram and Lakshman in fear of destruction. But at last he was slain by Ram himself. Deprived of arms and legs, his mutilated body lies like a mighty tree, disfigured by a forest fire. A part of it has fallen into the sea. Another big part blocks the entrance to the fortress. The severed head flying across the sky, has dropped onto the city and is lying there. Your beloved brother has gone to heaven.
When the Rakshasa gave this report, Ravan felt that his own life had left him, and he fainted. After recovering consciousness, he cried in grief and anger,
"Oh, mighty warrior! How could you go to death's world, leaving me behind? How did Ram kill you? You, whom in the whole world no enemy dared to approach! I see the gods rejoicing in their heavens at your fall. The Vanars are dancing with delight. Of what use is this kingdom to me? Why should I cling to life when my dear brother has left me? Why? Why? Because I have to torture and slay the man who killed this dear brother of mine."
Then, with sudden and futile remorse, he wailed,
"Alas! Why did I refuse to listen to Vibhishan?"
Then Trisiris and his sons tried to console Ravan, saying,
"What is the use of lamentation? You who have secured from Lord Brahma strength and armor, why should you fear or lose yourself in grief?"
And then Trisiris himself set out for the battlefield. Many others eagerly followed him, riding on elephants and chariots. A great battle ensued. Narantak, riding on horseback and holding a spear, wrought havoc among the Vanars and was proceeding towards Sugriv, but Angad opposed him, killing him and his horse. Likewise, Devantak and Trisiris were slain by Hanuman and Mahodara by Neil. Aitikaya fell a prey to Lakshman's arrows. But before they died, these four had fought like four gods of death and caused enormous losses to the Vanar forces. Then, when Ravan heard that Aitikaya was dead, he was bewildered and said,
"This is incredible! These, my warriors, firm and mighty like mountains and irresistible like the ocean, have been slain one by one by these enemies. Those who till now have never known defeat have been defeated and lie dead in the battlefield. There stand my foes who have broken out of the serpent entanglements with which my peerless son Indrajit had bound them. I cannot explain the marvel of this man Ram's strength. May it be that he is Lord Vishnu himself?"
Thus bewildered, Ravan lost heart. He wanted that the enemy forces should not enter the fortress, and in particular, should not enter the Ashok Park. He supervised the defenses again and returned to the palace, downcast and forlorn.